absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again. Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. As you listen to Earth, Wind, and Fire Fantasy, the two teams that are now in the final stages of winning the NCAA Men's Basketball National Championship are fulfilling one of their fantasies right now, and that is to do just that. I am JT, a.k.a. The Master. This is The Master Plan. The number to call in is 347-637-3220, 347-637-3220. I apologize for the delay, but we're here now, okay? And that telephone number is sponsored by Fantasy Sportsbook Casino.com hotline, where winners win and players play. And quite naturally, this show is definitely sponsored by the same sponsor, Fantasy Sportsbook Casino.com hotline. And like I say, it's where winners win and players play. Well, if you had listened to yesterday's show, I was half right. I still was, for all intents and purposes, now disrespecting and didn't quite realize how well and how good the University of Connecticut Huskies were. But they dispatched handily by 10 points, believe it or not, people. The University of Florida men's basketball team that was ranked number one and had a 30-game winning streak going into yesterday's game. And they beat them. Kevin Ollie, young and not an unknown coach now, not with all what he's done with this team, pulled the upset. Well, let me put it, so-called upset. Well, I think yesterday I picked up, I had said Florida, but I wouldn't be surprised if UConn got in there. I wouldn't be surprised if UConn got in there for the simple reason, as well as they've been playing, they've been knocking off teams left and right, and why not Florida? And obviously they outplayed them. Quickly dispatched them, and UConn had beat them once before. That's the key. They had beat them once before, so they weren't afraid of them. They knew they could beat them, and this time they made a statement when they beat them. They beat them by 10 points, where it was a last-second shot that beat them last time. that beat Florida last time, and now they came back and beat UConn again. So the coach, along with the players, learned a lot from playing Florida. I mean, the UConn best basketball team, including the coach, learned a lot from playing Florida last time and put it into practice. Put it into practice. Now they go up against who I thought was a favorite all along once the two teams were decided in the Final Four. The Kentucky team, the freshman-led men's basketball team from the University of Kentucky, is, and it took a, where you thought it was going to be a last-second shot or a very close game in the Florida and Connecticut game, well, that's what it was in the Kentucky and Wisconsin game, which, and it came to a last-second shot being made or not made, and it wasn't made, and now Kentucky moves on to the men's championship, which takes place on prime time on Monday. Florida, 53 points, tied a season low. 16 of those came in the first 10 minutes and 12 seconds while racing out to a 12-point lead. That fed the pregame belief that the Gators were a superior team, but we forgot to factor in UConn's vast reservoir of resilience. Now, this is a quote from Shabazz Napier. We understood we came out lousy. We never got too negative with each other. I don't think we were too worried. A lot of teams, a lot of young teams. Kentucky has a habit of doing that, too, coming out cold, not supposedly, in quotation marks, not supposedly ready to play and has to get into the flow of the game and understand what's going on before they actually really get into the game and start playing. They pretty much shut down the Southeastern Conference Player of the Year, Scotty Wilpikins, with 4 points on 2 of 9 shooting, and he had 3 turnovers with just 1 assist. His ability to drive and fracture the defense was completely taken away by Ryan Boatwright and the rest of the Husky guards. And I have to tell you this. The key, in my opinion, nowadays in college basketball, you can't rely on just one player or two players because the talent level of all these teams, as quite evidenced in the all the brackets, is so spread out and pretty much so even that, obviously, like you can see, you got an 8 seed and you got a 7 seed that are going for the national championship, that you need more than one player to accomplish the ultimate goal of winning the championship or getting to the championship game, for that matter. You need more than one player. You need more than two players. It takes a team effort, including a relatively strong bench. And quite naturally, you need some luck in the way. But for the most part, talent always rises to the top. So in these two teams that you have here, and that, I stress that, in the two teams that you have here, you may have one or two players on each team that stand out, but it's a team effort. These guys on both sides, the coaches, young coaches, Calipari is quite naturally a little older than Kevin Ollie, but dynamic coaches and have gotten their players to buy into the team concept heavily, including the better players on their team. And it shows quite evidently that this type of formula, and quite naturally, I mean, they have other teams. Like I said, you got to be fortunate, and Kentucky has gotten hot at the right time. And, I mean, I shouldn't say that, Kentucky. I should say both of these teams have gotten hot, extremely hot, at the right time. And something's going to have to give here. If I'm not mistaken, I saw a stat yesterday. University of Kentucky is 7-1. In the championship game, if I'm not mistaken. Something like that. I could be wrong, give or take. University of Connecticut and University of Kentucky, these two teams, when they come to the final four, to the final two, they come here and they get the job done. Very rarely do they go home and not come home with a national championship. And this is going to be, and I'll say it yesterday, I'll say it again today. I haven't watched these games. Circumstances beyond my control prevented me from watching last night's game. But I'm definitely going to be watching this game here on tomorrow night, because I think these two teams are. I think they're pretty evenly matched. I think these two coaches are two dynamic coaches. Quite naturally, people all know about John Calipari and his record at the University of Mass, University of UMass, and at Kentucky and other places. And now you got Kevin Ollie, who, if I'm not mistaken, played on a championship game, a team, is a alumni of the University of Kentucky, University of Connecticut. And now he's coaching his alma mater team, or his alma mater, his own team, and he's doing it the right way, coaching him come Monday night in the national championship. That in itself is an amazing story, that an alumni can actually, and who would have known that Kevin Ali, that who was taken over for a legendary coach, Jim Calhoun, who brought the University of Connecticut to national prominence in the college men's basketball game, that Kevin Ali would be able to follow that legend and do well. Most coaches, whether it be male or female, whatever sport, that follows a legend, a legendary coach. I don't know the statistics, but I do know that a lot of the times they are disappointments because they can't live up to the previous coach who was legendary. And it doesn't make a difference whether it's basketball. I'm talking about over the spectrum of sports. When you get a coach that follows a legendary coach, usually that coach doesn't fare well. It takes one or two coaches after that legendary coach for a coach to do well, because his expectations are so high and the patience of the management over that coach is short, because they have the same expectations as if the legendary coach was still in place. So when that doesn't happen, usually the next coach in line after the legendary coach gets replaced with someone else. And usually it takes, like I said, it takes a few coaches to come and go before a university finally realizes, for the most part, I'm not saying all of them, but a lot of them realize that they need to settle on and get some type of stability in order for the program to succeed. But in this case, Kevin Ollie, the University of Connecticut, showed a lot of patience, showed a lot of confidence in him, and he has come through. A young black coach, and I shouldn't even say that, but he is succeeding and bringing his team to the highest level. Unfortunately, he's up against a team full of McDonald All-American high school players, now they're college players, and these guys are no joke from Kentucky, led by a coach that's been there and done that, meaning being in championship games like this. And meaning that this is should be a extremely exciting game to watch. Now, I have to really say that I'm surprised about University of Connecticut. I said that before, but it goes without saying that I think the odds that were in Vegas, I think University of Connecticut odds of getting to the national championship or winning it, if I'm not mistaken, was 100-1. The odds for Kentucky was, if I'm not mistaken, were 40-1. So if anyone took a shot and laid $1,000 either on University of Kentucky or University of Connecticut to win the national championship, they stand to get paid big time. Big time. Just think, 40-1, you lay $1,000, you win $40,000. A hundred to one times 1,000, you win $1,000,000. So how many people did that before the tournament started? How many people did that? Had $1,000 to blow. You know, some people with money would think, you know, hey, why not? What I got to lose? It's not really that much, but to some people to take a shot with. But I got to take a short break, but I'll be right back. But I do have to take a short break, and I'll be back. come back. Man, I tell you, here we go.
I did not have sex relations with that woman.
Okay, here we go.
If you're into fantasy sports, you're going to love the Fantasy Sports Show with host Victor Gardner and co-host Jerry and Black every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. This show is so hot, I can only play the intro.
Fantasy Sports and
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. The Fantasy Sports Show. Information, motivation, variety. For a roundup of the week's events, interviews, and a whole lot more, tune in every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern for the FSP Cruise Show, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. Here's a sample.
We have Mr. Stephen A. Smith. Hello, Stephen A. I'm glad to, this is Jerry, your host, along with my co-host Black and Jeff on here. Glad to, join us.
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
What's going on, baby?
Good. Thanks for joining us.
Not a problem.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. The FSP Crew Show. Information, motivation, variety. If you want to add a little spice to your talk radio, try No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. Arguably, No Chaser is the most, shall we say, controversial show in the lineup. Let me give you a couple of direct quotes. If LeBron took a shit in the middle of the street in broad daylight, his Boy Scouts would say, it's the greatest one ever. Here's another. Y'all dumb donkeys keep believing what Obama says. Just watch. This country is going to get worse, and I'm just going to sit back and say, I told you so. I can only assume this is why the show is called No Chaser. You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. It's No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor. Information, motivation, variety.
All right, I'm back, and we do have a caller online from the area code 925. Welcome to the Master Plan. What's your statement or comment?
Well. Looks like the roosters have come home to nest. It's me. It's Mr. FSP. How you doing, JT?
I'm doing fine. How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing good. I'm at work, though, so I can't get all excited. I can't be too loud and all that good stuff. That might save you a bit, you know.
So what's up? So what do I have this pleasure of my call? I have a feeling, but I'm going to give you the honors of going that route.
Okay. Well, if you remember last summer while I was in Maryland, I had a guy I made a bet with that the Cowboys would beat the Broncos, came on the show and said, you know, he didn't know what I was smoking, all that stuff. Well, he texted me, and he just wanted to listen to some good fantasy baseball advice because his Braves just beat up on my Nationals, which sucks, but it's okay. And I don't know if you went over fantasy baseball or not, or if you talked about the Daryl Cooley interview from yesterday, but I haven't talked about
either one yet. Okay. I was just talking about the college basketball game that took place yesterday. Now, I didn't watch them.
Yeah, I didn't watch them either. I was at work all day.
Yes, I didn't get an opportunity to watch them. In fact, I was the circumstances last night when the two games took place, 6 o'clock and I think the other one was 9 o'clock or whenever it was. I didn't watch them. I saw the results today. I wasn't surprised on one because I figured Kentucky, the way they've been playing, would beat Wisconsin. I was a little surprised, but not surprised because they beat them before. The University of Connecticut beat Florida. So, but they beat them a lot more handily than I thought. I thought Kentucky would win the game easy, not comfortable, I should say. and UConn would if they beat Florida, it would be a close game. Well, it was the exact opposite. UConn beating Florida by 10, and Kentucky just barely squeaking out the win on a last-second shot that was missed by somebody from Wisconsin. I'm really excited, and like I've said to you guys before, over yesterday, I've said it when I was talking to Macau, that I do not watch. I find a hard time to watch basketball, whether it's college or pro. But I'm real anxious to see these two teams because they seem like they're pretty well evenly matched with two very good coaches. One has been here before. The other one, quite naturally, is following a legendary coach in Jim Calhoun from the University of Connecticut, and he's happens to be an alumni and former player, Kevin Ollie. So this is, in my opinion, and I want to get yours, should be an exciting, very exciting game. Hopefully it's not a blowout. Hopefully it comes down to the last shot or close to it. Talk to me.
Well, I'll tell you like this. If you went to FantasySportsBookAndCasino.com, where winners, winning players play and place some wages, you would be rolling in the dough right now. UConn was – they were severely listed as a dog, you know. So if you just picked them to cover, you won big. If you picked them to win, you won even bigger. The Kentucky-Wisconsin game, the spread – you would have won if you played the spread as far as total points for the game, because a lot of folks thought that was going to be a low-scoring game. Again, if you went over to FantasySportsBookAndCasino.com, where winners win and players play, you could have made some money on that. You know what? I wrote off the Kentucky Wildcats. I wrote them off.
I don't know why.
I'm going to explain why. Last year when they had all that turmoil as far as getting in and trying to work together, you know, they got bounced out with the first or second round of the NCAA tournament last year.
They didn't get in last year.
Well, see, there you go. Yeah, they went to the NIT, I'm sorry, and got bounced out the second round of NIT.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you would think – there's no way in the world they're going to advance, you know, this far in the tourney because they're, they got hot at the right time, but you wouldn't expect them to be that hot. To play solid basketball against Wisconsin, who they got bangers. They got guys down low that's going to get the ball. And they can run, too. They can also run. So, you know, when you have that going on, it's a good mix of talent. So it didn't surprise me that they won, but I was surprised at their total run at the NCAA title. That surprised me. As far as the other side goes, Florida, you know, I wrote UConn off. But when they beat Michigan State at their own game, that was a sign of trouble. I was hoping that Florida would win to help save my brackets, but that is now gone. So I'm looking at everything and saying, will UConn beat Kentucky? And I'm going to say no. I think that Kentucky has the magic coach on their side.
Mm-hmm.
Calipari brings these guys up to a new level. And he's exceeding expectations for this year. So is Connecticut. Don't get me wrong. Connecticut is as well. But there's just something a little bit more special about Kentucky than it is Wisconsin. UConn. And Paul Nadowski, enjoy your little time in Milwaukee and watching the Braves. They still suck. The taller ones fail, man. Because he's listening right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it.
All right. Well, you know, I had talked about before you called, and I had talked about how tough it is to follow a legendary coach. That most coaches that follow legendary coaches don't do that well. It takes two or three coaches after the legendary coach to finally maybe succeed, maybe not as good well as a legendary coach, but see positive things happening with the program because the expectations are at the legendary coach's level. Well, when you get a coach that is out of the norm, when you follow a legendary coach, and I'm talking about Kevin Ali, that's something special because the university, after the legendary coach left, had to deal with some NCAA problems. And now this guy has gotten this program back to national prominence. And he's a very young coach and one of the few young, and I hate to say it like this, but I'm going to say it anyway, young black coaches to get their team unexpectedly to where they're at. And I had also said that the odds before the tournament started, if I'm not mistaken, for both of these teams was 100-1 for UConn and 40-1 with Kentucky. So anybody who went to Vegas and laid $1,000 on either one of these teams to win the national championship and is fortunate enough to be in a position right now to get paid, if they had UConn, and I can't see how they could, but who knows? Maybe someone out there who laid a crazy bet out. A UConn alumni who just laid a crazy bet out there in Vegas to take a shot is set to get paid $1 million versus a University of Kentucky person who put a wager on $1,000 is going to get paid $40,000 if they win the national championship. So, besides we have another caller coming in here, and I know who this guy is.
Oh, well, let me get mine out before, because if this is who I think it is, you ain't going to have the show's going to go downhill from now.
Oh, stop. Go ahead. I'm listening.
Two things. I wanted to say congratulations to Paul and his new fiance, Jen. I told this guy that if he didn't ask her to marry him real soon, she was going to leave him. And he did a good little video and surprised her, did a good thing. The Braves still suck. And the odds are astronomical. You know, Big Ten basketball, if you are in a Big Ten school and, you know, you follow that, you're going to place that $1,000 wager on Wisconsin. You're going to place that $1,000 wager on Michigan State. You know, because, again, a couple Saturdays ago we talked about this, and I said at the beginning of the season, the Big Ten, you know, they were the lead dogs in college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it just goes to show you that you can do this. If you're placing that money on Connecticut or Kentucky or whatever, you got pride, especially with Calipari and what they did last year. That was like, you know what, you dared me to put – you know, wager $1,000, fine, I'll do it. And now it's going to pay off. So if you go to fantasysportsbookandcasino.com, where winners win and players play, you can do it all every day. That's all I'm saying. All right,
let me bring this caller here, and because we talked about this matchup, and I'd have to say, my man, we have talked on the air and off the air. Come on in here. Please come in here. Hold on a minute here. Oh, God. Don't tell me I can't get him. Yes, I did. We had talked about this, the caller who's in question. Just wait a minute, caller, and I'll bring you in. We had talked about this on the FSP show yesterday afternoon about the two matchups, Florida against Connecticut and Wisconsin against Kentucky. And I went with Florida on one side, and I went with Kentucky on the other. but the caller I'm about to bring in now called it Connecticut against Kentucky, and I have to congratulate you. Welcome to the show, Mikel.
What's up, sir?
How you doing?
Hey, I'm at work. I'm at work, so I can't talk too loud.
Oh, that's okay. I'm with that.
It's all right. Yeah, I don't want my boss to hear me talking on the phone.
Oh, he's making fun of me, right?
He's his own boss, so I know better than that.
It's whatever. You know, some of us have to have dignity and respect when we are at work.
Hey, Big. You should really check out that show yesterday. It was a really good show, man.
I know, because you were on it and I wasn't. Is that what you're about to say?
No.
Oh, okay.
Your man Two Shop called in. Two Shop? Remember him?
They're too sweet. Too sweet.
Remember him?
Too sweet.
Yo. Yeah. No. Straight up.
Two Shot.
The boxer.
Daryl Too Sweet Cooley. Yeah, Daryl Too Sweet Cooley. What are you talking about?
Too Sweet.
Yeah.
I keep them mixed up with Too Sharp. Yeah. It wasn't me that got him straightened out yesterday. I just want to tell you that. I mean, we talked with him, but it wasn't me. It wasn't me. So I was good.
What happened?
Show to hear what I'm talking about, Slim.
Yeah, you have to listen to the show. He came in near the tail end of the show, so I think about between quarter of and a little after
it was like the real tail end of the show.
Yeah,
real
it was like quarter after two to it was about 10:20 after two. Okay. So
it was like
10 minutes left in the show or something like that when he called in. But we went into overtime. But it was a very interesting conversation. I do much tell you.
Yeah.
Was it a Victor Page type or was it a...
No.
Vic, we try to just be good with it. Talk to either me or Jerry offline and I'd say straight up. I'm not gonna do that to him on the air right now, man. I couldn't do it.
Right.
I respect that dude too much.
All I have to say was an interesting conversation. Okay.
All right. Well, let's move on. We'll talk about this when I got some free time.
So, like I said, Mikel, I have to congratulate you on calling that championship out. You went with Connecticut and you went with University.
I didn't. No, I didn't.
What happened? I thought you did.
No, I didn't go with Connecticut, man. I went with Flo Rida. I did.
Oh, that's right. Yes, you did. I'm sorry. We agreed.
We both went with Kentucky and Flo Rida.
Right.
I didn't.
Right.
I had pointed out that I liked Kevin Ollie a lot. I like
right.
what he's doing over there a lot, but I had to stick with Flo Rida.
Right, right.
Yeah.
But I did have to say that I wouldn't be surprised if Connecticut beat Florida because they have beaten them once before. So, I don't know if you watched the game, but if you did, what are your thoughts on any one of the two games?
I didn't get to watch the
I didn't watch him. Victor didn't watch him, and you didn't watch him. But I did say that I'm definitely going to be watching on prime time on Monday night to watch it and see how well these two teams play each other. Because I'm looking for a close game. I'm hoping it's not going to be a blowout on either side, but. It should be a pretty good game, to say the least.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna watch that game. I'm gonna watch that game tomorrow night.
All right. I did tell my listeners last week that I was going to chronicle my fantasy baseball from the start of the season and give you a something on fantasy baseball each week. Well, I started off pretty well up until about Thursday night, I think I was. I was leading. I was leading handily. And for some reason, now I have some pretty nice bats, but when I have my bats doing what they've been doing this week, and unfortunately one of my big bats is going to have a chronic problem all year, unfortunately, unless he succumbs to a surgery, which is probably going to put him out for the rest of the year. I'm talking a guy I recently traded for in Ryan Braun. He's got his thumb issue that he's dealing with as of last year, this year, and he can barely grip the bat, and they're just scrambling. I guess the trainers, the doctor, team doctor is scrambling to get something that will help him be able to deal with the nerve issue that he has in his thumb. I'm not counting on too much from Ryan Braun. Seems like the bats that I have that I were counting on, Joe Mauer for this week is batting 190. Joey Votto, who I got, is doing decent. Not too much in the power category. He's batting 316. Pablo Sandoval is one of a few guys who's at least hitting one home run, is batting below 200. Billy Butler is who pretty much a consistent hitter, is batting 200. Andrew McCutchen, my number one pick, is batting for this week 211 with only two RBIs. And Ryan Braun is batting 063, under 100 for this week. Now, the reason why I didn't mention all my guys, because the fact is I want to highlight these guys. And for those who are looking to pick up players that may be available in their fantasy, these are two guys that I picked up in the draft, and I suggested people picking up today is Brad Miller. He's a young player. He plays two positions in Yahoo, second base and shortstop. He's batting 263. He's already had two homers, even though he knocked him in two games, I mean one game. But he's a solid hitter, and Seattle right now is, I think, 4-1. I think they've only lost one game. So they're starting the season off well. Then this other guy I'm extremely high on, he hasn't hit a home run yet, but he's hitting a solid 364. He's from Milwaukee, just like Ryan Braun. It's Chris with a K, Davis. He's got four hits. He's only got one RBI. But this kid showed a lot of power numbers last year in a short amount of games. If he's out there, if you have room on your bench, I suggest you grabbing this guy called Chris Davis. Now, there's one other guy. There's another guy that is a pitcher. He may have starting off shaky, but I like him a lot. He got beat out by Joe Kelly in the St. Louis pitching staff, but he outpitched Joe Kelly. But instead of giving him the fifth position in that rotation, they put him into the bullpen. And if you have a setup man, if you have someone that and you have hold as one of your categories in pitching, this guy on a good St. Louis team, who's a very good pitcher, who also has a shot to pitch, but right now he's in a reliever role, setting up for Trevor Rosenthal, calling out Carlos Martinez. He's got a lot of heat. His big issue is control. I think he's gonna work those kinks out because it's really early in the season, and like Carlos Martinez. Two other guys I'm in the pitching role that you may be looking for, that may be sitting on the waiver wire and looking to get picked up as free agents. Two starters, one from Tampa Bay who just recently re-signed. I think he signed at least a 4 to 6 year contract with the Tampa Bay Rays. Chris Archer, he's a hard throwing right hander, and his upside is huge. I like him a lot, and I put him on my team. And the other guy where is he at? Where the heck? Oh, here he is. He's in San Diego. He pitches in Petco Stadium, which is a hitter's park. Which is a pitcher's park, and he throws heat. He's already got 7 strikeouts in the 5 innings that he's pitched. His issue is also a little control, but it was his first game out, and I'm looking out for nothing but good things from this guy. I'm talking about Terrence Ross, Tyson Ross, I think his name is. He also has a brother on the same staff as a relief pitcher. I don't think he's not at the same talent level, but Tyson Ross is a starting pitcher and relief pitcher, but he's in the starting role right now, but his category is both. So, and one other guy in the pitching, and he's also got a dual position as a starting pitcher and relief pitcher, but he's in the rotation for the Atlanta Braves, and he sustained a win, and he's pitching today. So if you need a pitcher to pick up, this guy is a strikeout pitcher. He throws a lot of heat. He's a young pitcher, so with young pitchers, you can expect a little erraticness. But I'm talking about Alex Wood from the Atlanta Braves. Victor, I know you know fantasy baseball, but I don't know if you know all those players. Talk to me.
Excuse me. Well, I want to say a couple things first. I guess the confidence that you had in the men that you traded for kind of backfired a little bit because he thought you were getting the Ryan Braun of old, and you got the Ryan Braun of new for the best pitcher in baseball, who, by the way, I think is going to play this week.
Who's that?
Kershaw.
Clayton
Kershaw.
It's still early. I got other bats, but I was counting on him. But I got other bats. Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, no, that's fine. I just got to say that, you know, both our teams are not doing too well,
right.
Fantasy baseball wise. I'm looking at my pitchers who were all supposed to be outstanding pitchers.
Right.
I only have 3 or 4 wins and like 5 losses. 3 of those losses came from my relief pitchers. So I'm going to tell you right now, Chris Davis is a guy that is good. However, he's not on any waiver wire. If he's on somebody's waiver wire, people are smoking. A person that may be on your waiver wire that may not have as much pop as he had before, but has an average going for him is Melky Cabrera. You know, I like Melky Cabrera. He's a guy that's doing very well. He's hitting for average now. So he's going to be an RBI guy this year. Also, D. Gordon, for some reason, is on the waiver wire in a lot of leagues. With Jose Reyes going down, with Jimmy Rollins probably not being consistent, and not that much talent at shortstop, you might want to get D. Gordon. As far as pitchers, I'm telling you, Seattle's pitchers are on point. John Paxton, this kid, he's a flamethrower. He's tall. He can hit. He can do a lot of things. And he proved it, I think, a couple days ago when he started. That's a guy to pick up as well. Who else might be on the waiver wire that people might be able to pick up? Another guy, maybe not be on the waiver wire. You never know. He might be. Matt Garza. I did not expect Mr. Garza to come out his first game and pitch like he's a Cy Young candidate again.
Told you.
And he had a good outing, and I think he's pitching today, or he pitched yesterday, or he's pitching. He's going to pitch real soon. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, I think he's pitching tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken.
And we get to see if it's going to be an aberration or not. Another group of players I think people should get, look to Seattle. Look to Seattle and Oakland. You mentioned Brad Miller. I like John Smoke, the first baseman for Seattle. You know, Akeley, the outfielder.
Dustin Akeley.
Yeah, Akeley. I like Akeley as well. And Oakland's not bad either. You know, they've got a couple good players at at short. And, of course, you got Cespedes in the outfield with Coco Crisp. These are players that might be on somebody's roster, but if they're not, you should go get them. Another guy who I actually had no faith in because of Jerry, but he's been proven wrong yet again, is Dexter Fowler. This kid is coming out on fire so far this season. I don't know if it's just because they're playing the Yankees or what have you, but if he's available, I mean, I pick him up while he's hot and then trade him before he goes cold again. That's my take on it, Mr. Taylor. Anything else, I really can't get too much into because I don't have my list and my information in front of me.
Well, I was depending on my bats to carry me through this week, and ironically, my bats have let me down, and my pitching staff has not. My bats have not produced, and my pitching staff has. The 6 points I have in the matchup is all from my pitching staff. I have not won one category on my bats, which is extremely surprised from, because I have some good bats that I thought would come out relatively hot. They don't have to be blazing, but 200 or sub 100 or sub 200, that's pretty bad. So, but because they are who they are, I expect them to pick it up have a balanced roster, not a roster that my most of my bats are all-star bats, but not producing at all-star numbers. Most of my pitchers are not all-star pitchers, but producing relatively well. We'll see what happens in the transactions that I've done over the last 2 weeks are going to come back to bite me in the ass, or are going to reward me handsomely. Do you want to comment on your team, Victor, or no?
Yeah. I'll talk about my team. I'll talk about it. Again, I drafted Yu Darvish, Justin Verlander, Felix Hernandez, and all these other guys. And you went on the DL, so that hurt me in the beginning. I had Fernando Rodney. I traded him away. I had C.J. Wilson, who imploded he had a great spring, but he imploded in his first game, and I traded him to Mr. Taylor for Matt Garza and Jose Reyes. So that was pretty good for me. But just like you were expecting your bats to carry you. I was expecting my pitching. And right now, if I go through the categories, you know, of what's going on with my team, head-to-head versus Hakuna Tejada, which is Andrew, he's kicking my butt. Like, I have 25 runs to his 35 runs, 56 hits to his 64, 9 home runs to 12 home runs, 25 RBIs to 30 RBIs. I'm winning the stolen bases 2-1. He has 24 walks. I have 9. Okay?
Wow.
I'm leading. Yeah, you know, his bats are smart. They're waiting for their pitch, and they have a great average. I have 32 strikeouts. He has 35. I have 90 total bases, 111 total bases. We both suck with innings pitch. I mean, errors. We both have 4 errors. But he's with, again, 24 walks. He has an average of 308. I have an average of 262.
Mm-hmm.
In pitching, again, the area I thought I would be dominant in, I have most of my categories where I have 39.2 innings pitch. He has 37. I have 3 wins to his none. Also, I have 4 losses to his 3. 2 saves to 1. Of course, my pitchers have been pitching more. My relievers have been killing me. That's why Wilson is gone. Brian Wilson, that is. And I don't know what I'm going to do with Jimmy Johnson, but he's killing me too. 43 hits to 29 hits. But, you know, as expected with my pitchers, my walks are down. Only 15 walks to his 13. I have 40 strikeouts to his 39. We both don't have any holds. And this is the surprising part. My ERA is 4.76. Again, I want to thank Brian Wilson and Jimmy Johnson for that. Whereas my opponent's ERA is 2.92. My whip, 1.46 to 1.14. Again, I have a good team. I don't have a power team, but I would expect my team to hit for average. Your guardian Molina, I can't even get his name right now. Alan Craig.
Yadier Molina.
Yeah, Yadier Molina. Alan Craig, Dustin Pedroia, Chris Johnson, who's doing pretty good for me. Elvis Andrus, Martin Prada, Milky Cabrera, Brett Gardner, Nelson Cruz, and by the way, Nelson Cruz, even though he's not as productive as he once was, this week he's 3-for-17. He has 4 runs, 3 hits, 2 home runs, 3 RBIs, 3 walks. He's only struck out 3 times, 9 total bases, but he's hitting 176. Mm-hmm. 176. Torrey Hunter, Andrus Cabrera, Ben Revis. I have Curtis Granderson, who, as you told me, Jerry, would not do well this year. In a trade, I got Jose Reyes from Jerry, put him on a DL. Manny Machado's on a DL as well. Justin Verlander, Matt Garza, Felix Hernandez, Joe Nathan, Jimmy Johnson, A.J. Burnett, Kuji Uehara, Eric Mojica, and a guy got off waivers, and I don't understand why he was on waivers, but John Lackey. John Lackey's a good pickup. And I got Yu Darvish on the DL, and I believe he's supposed to pitch on Monday. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, it's the first week of fantasy baseball. Some people I mentioned are people I'm targeting in free agency, and I would hope others are looking at them in free agency as well, but except for you, Jerry. But I think that fantasy baseball is growing on me. It really has, and I hope folks are listening in and getting good information, because that's what we provide. We provide very good information, and I know you're in overtime, so go ahead and get it out, and let's go.
Yeah, I have one more player that I want to mention that I won't mention right now. I want to be able to pick him up and take a look at him first before I put him out there. But he's an up-and-coming player that's been red hot, and come Monday, if he's available, I will definitely pick him up. And I know I'm going to lose this. Now, let me put it this way. On most fantasy teams, and including this, I've noticed that usually by Thursday, late Wednesday, Thursday, especially in this league, if you're not leading in your league, if you're in the losing category, that for the most part, that's where you're going to be for the rest of the weekend. I've seen it last year, and I've also seen it this year. Unless it's extremely close with one or two categories, but if you're like 3 or 4, maybe 5 categories behind, or conversely, if you're 3 or 4 or five categories ahead, that's more or less where you're going to stay, and that's what's going to happen come Sunday night when all the games are in. So you can pretty much gauge how your week is going to go come Wednesday or Thursday. If you're going to be on the positive or negative side of winning, and it's up to you to just minimize the amount of categories that you lose. With that being said, I know I didn't get a chance, Macau didn't get a chance to say too much other than the NCAA tournament, but I'm going to give him the first shot at any closing remarks before we get out of here.
Hey, Vic.
Yeah.
I'm not messing with you this time, but yesterday, you know, was the opening day for the Nationals, and they had a really, really, really good turnout. It was really, really big. You know, they got another game today, right?
Yeah.
It looked a little dry out this June.
Oh, my God.
It looked real dry. I mean, it's like a stark difference in the attendance today. Like, yesterday, the roads were just terrible and disgusting. But now, it's just like, okay, game's going to start, so when is everybody going to show up? But that's all I wanted to say. I'll catch y'all next week. Peace and blessings. And duck down, Vic. You don't want your boss to eat. Duck down.
Shut up, dude. Just shut up. You're killing me, man. You're killing me.
Hey, Macau. Macau?
Yeah.
Hey, didn't you want to tell him about a certain member in your family?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, give me a call. Give me a call, Vic.
If it's about Aunt Orgy, I already know.
No.
No? Okay,
no.
I'll give you a call.
I know you don't know this.
All right, well,
I mean, you know, you don't have to call me today. But,
hey, shoot me your number on Facebook in the inbox because I don't have it in my phone.
All right.
Okay. All right. All right.
All right, Victor, now it's your opportunity to whatever you like to say.
Okay.
Fire away.
Real quick, ladies and gentlemen, if you go to fantasysportsbookandcasino.com, where winners win and players play, you'll place a wager and you'll get paid. Trust me on that. All you got to do is listen to myself or ATM JT, the money man, as he likes to be called. Magic man. But go there, place your wagers, get involved in this NCAA championship game, make some money off of it. Also, we provide the most information and entertainment there is known to man on the Internet. We do, plain and simple, sports-related, politically related. Just come and get it. Eat it up, sop it up with a spoon or something, with a piece of bread. But the one thing I want people to do today is it's only $9.99. Go get WWE Network. Watch the WrestleMania event. Last night I stayed up late with my boys and watched the Hall of Fame induction ceremony. And the Ultimate Warrior was on there sweating like a pig because everybody was afraid that he was going to talk bad about Hulk Hogan and everybody. And he did, but he didn't do it in the way that everybody thought he was going to do it. And It was a good event. My kids enjoyed it, and they're getting into professional wrestling and stuff like that. And listening to Jake the Snake Roberts talk about his love for wrestling and how it took him away from his family. You know, now my boys don't want to wrestle professionally. They just want to watch it. And, you know, I kind of like that because I don't want them doing that lifestyle. But other than that, enjoy your kids. Enjoy your life. Do what you got to do. Have fun. And JTATM Money, don't ever make trades with him because he's always going to try to shortchange you, and then it comes back to bite him in the butt. But I still love him. Yay!
And let me put it this way. Every trade that I made with Victor this season in baseball is favored him. So what he's talking about is all bogus. So don't believe what he's saying because it may bite me in the butt. That's telling me he got the best of the trade. And I'm telling everybody else you got the best of the trade. So, which is fine. You know how I roll. I take a lot of chances during the season. Some of them pay off, some of them don't. Season's still early. We'll see what happens and let it be. With that all said and done, I want to thank you two for joining me this morning, and early morning for Victor, and 11, right now it's 11 a.m. East Coast time for Mikal and I. Tune in next week. I'm going to give you that other player. He's probably still going to be on the waiver wire in most leagues. Hopefully he's not for a lot of you who are going to benefit from him. But the master plan will be, in effect, bringing you fantasy baseball news and guys you can pick up week to week, and I'm still going to chronicle every week how my fantasy team is doing. It's going down in flames this week, but it can turn around next week and be on the positive side. With that being said, I'll start, end the show just like I started with a little Earth, Wind, and Fire, and we're out.